Good morning. Welcome to the Planning Committee meeting of the 27th of May 2014. To remind you that proceedings are being recorded. Agenda, apologies.
Chair, apologies from Councillor Beattie, Councillor Boyes and Councillor Constable.
Order of business.
Chair, is as printed in the agenda, can I draw members' attention to the tabled copy of item number 10? This is a revised version. Unfortunately, when the original papers were copied, two pages got pulled through together. So the actual report is in your papers, jumps from page 1 to page 4. This corrects that error.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which they all know.
Any declarations of interest?
Chair, as I have in the past, I'll declare an interest in item 8.
We'll turn to item 4, minutes of the meeting, 22nd of April. Okay, as read. Return to item 5, major applications. Applications currently being assessed and other developments at pre-application consultation stage.
Chairman, it's just the usual update on the major applications for noting, but if there's any questions, I'll happily take them.
Councillor Ruby?
I mean, it's actually the first two items that I would maybe just like a little update on, because they, you know, there's the two applications, both in Pennycook, and I thought that the issue with regard to the roundabout that's to go on the 702, I thought that had been cleared by Transport Scotland, and therefore there was no need to, you know, to have the impasse of not getting on with it. I mean, the developers were on site and started earth moving months and months ago, and I just, you know, I have to say that I thought this was it starting, but I mean, could maybe Peter give us an update on where we are on both our applications, actually.
Yeah, Chairman, the same issue applies to both applications. There was a consortium of different house builders involved with these projects, but one of them went into liquidation or administration. But that issue is now at the very latter stage of being resolved. So the lead partner now is advising the council that in the coming months it is actually going to maybe withdraw those and submit one application, remixing those projects. So hopefully over the summer you'll actually see a major application come forward for that site. So we've been advised that progress is being made behind the scenes with that.
Anything else? We'll move on to item 6, appeals on local review body decisions.
Again, Chair, it's the regular update of the local review body decisions and subsequent appeal that's decisions that's come in. Again, for noting, I'll happily take any questions if there is any.
Okay. Item 7. Guidance on the role of councillors in pre-application procedures.
Thanks, Chair. It's considered that this committee is the most appropriate one to bring forward to members' attention the Scottish Government's new guidance on the role of councillors in pre-application procedures. Although I say new, it very much amplifies and is in line with that which is in the Council's Code of Conduct in relation to planning, and you probably see that, in fact, it refers to the relevant paragraphs of the code in terms of the new guidance. The emphasis is really on providing a basis under which councillors can be confident about the role that they're able to play in this pre-application stage. And it will also assist applicants and their agents in obtaining an early view on the planning issues which may be of concern to the planning authority. You'll see from the document which is appended in full that the guidance recommends that councils prepare procedures to ensure that councillors and others are clear about their roles and responsibilities, and it gives some pointers to the sort of things that should be included. You'll probably see that the emphasis is very much on asking authorities whether they may wish to consider what some councils have done, I know, and that is to have a separate forum of councillors that would meet separate from the planning committee, or it can be the members of the planning committee meeting as a separate group, to then consider substantial applications on which applicants and their agents may wish to seek an initial, what they call a provisional view, as it's called in the guidance. And that's essentially what I think this guidance is pushing towards. The guidance also asks councils to consider additional training for members in relation to not just this issue, but planning generally, and that's in the guidance. Taking a lead from that, you'll see in the recommendations, what's being recommended is, first of all, to note that the new guidance and to ask that the officers prepare a report setting out draft procedures, and I stress draft, for submission to this committee for consideration, and at the same time for members to consider as part of that whether they wish the officers to arrange further training for members on their role in pre-application matters. Happy to take questions, Chair.
Councillor Emery. Yeah, Chairman, I mean, one could say, you know, please don't make it another sledgehammer to crack a nut, you know. I mean, I would have just put right on across the paper, common sense should prevail. But seriously, if we are going to get a draft paper back by the officers, I've got no problem about doing that. First of all, could we get it in words that are understood? And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm talking in terms of, you sometimes can write a document where there's more confusion than anything else, and you're away getting the lawyer to give an interpretation of what you can and cannot do. So if it could be done in that way, and a request, could we get the draft out a wee bitty before the next meeting to members so they have an opportunity to raise things that could be addressed prior to actually coming to the meeting. And I say that because the last thing we need is another big debate, whereas if you can deal with it in that way, in that manner, and come to a conclusion with your guidance, Chairman, and the officers, then what comes to the committee is more than likely something that people are signing up to. There might always be the small amendment. And on the last thing, I'm quite happy to have somebody to come in and do a training exercise. We've done it before, and it's always been helpful, but I think it does no harm in doing that. But just a little bit thing, as I say, if the sign says let common sense prevail, I think, you know, we would actually probably be better off. But unfortunately, we have, you know, tomes and tomes of guidelines, and to be perfectly honest, I just sometimes have asked the value of them.
Councillor Thompson.
Yeah, I think just following Councillor Emery's point, I think it would be useful, but there's also the other side to that. If the guidance is there and it's available and it's clear, it helps for not only the councillors to understand roles, but actually helps the wider general public to understand what we as councillors can and can't do in that process as well. And I think that could be quite a useful part of this.
I take it then the committee is minded to do the recommendations. Item number 8. The planning permission for erection of 9 wind turbines and associated transformers.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a report to advise the committee of the proposed predetermination hearing and site visits arrangement for the proposed wind farm application at Mount Lothian, Penicuik. The proposed predetermination hearing is scheduled for Friday, the 26th of September 2014, and is to be held at the Penicuik Town Hall. The hearing will commence at 10 a.m. A site visit is also scheduled for Friday, the 26th of September 2014. Transport will be arranged and would depart from Midlothian House at 2 p.m. The recommendation is for the committee to agree the proposed arrangements.
Happy to accept the recommendation.
That brings us to item 9. This is an application of planning permission considered at a previous meeting. Application of planning permission in principle for the erection of 60 dwelling houses, a warehouse, petrol filling station, and associated works at land at Fordow, Dalkeith.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application in principle for the erection of 60 dwelling houses, the erection of a warehouse building, extension to petrol filling station kiosk, and associated works at land at Fordow, Dalkeith. The application was first reported to the Planning Committee at its meeting in February, at which the committee deferred consideration of the application to enable a site visit to take place and for officers to advise of possible alternative uses for the site. The site visit took place yesterday, the 26th of May, and possible alternative uses are outlined in Section 3 of the report. The site is currently comprising of an existing mixed-use development, including petrol filling station, shop, restaurant, equestrian agricultural supplies outlet, warehousing, garden shop, offices, a caravan site and a caravan storage facility. In terms of the application before the committee for determination, it is proposed to retain the petrol filling station and cafe restaurant building, demolish the remaining buildings and erect a new retail warehouse building and residential dwelling houses. The applicant has submitted a plan indicatively showing 60 dwellings on the site, but acknowledges this number might drop if the committee are minded to support the proposal. The principle of extending the petrol filling station kiosk and erecting a new warehouse in support of the existing businesses accords with development plan policies and is acceptable. However, the proposed residential development of the scale indicatively shown is contrary to the development plan. The site is not allocated for housing in the adopted Midlothian local plan and is not identified for housing in the Council's main issues report. The site is not considered to be in a sustainable location, being a considerable distance from local services, schools and public transport. As a consequence, there is a fundamental objection to the principle of residential development on this site. It is recommended that the presumption against the residential development is not outweighed by any other material considerations. There have been 4 letters of representation objecting to the application and 1 supporting the application. The objection from SEPA reported to the February committee has subsequently been removed following the submission of additional information by the applicant. As the proposed development is contrary to the development plan, the recommendation is to refuse planning permission.
Right, the recommendation has just been said, has been refused. It's a brownfield site, not a rural site. It's also against the Midlothian local plan. And item 3 says the level of development proposed would be contrary to the policies RP7 and HOUS3, as the density of housing proposed would not be appropriate. Can I discussion? Councillor Emery?
Chairman, I mean, the application in front of us, I mean, we continued it before so that we could go on a site visit and reflect on the application. And I think what you've got to take into consideration is any material considerations that the committee may have. And to my mind, here was a business that was on the A68 as was. It was a very good caravan tourist business that went on there. It was a very successful garage business that went on there as well. They moved into the equestrian business, and they also at one point in time had a shop in Dalkeith. Now, in a past life, I was invited along with the director and the head of service at that time to go and talk to Mr. Miller and his cohorts up there regarding what could be done, because there was a worry and concern at that time that what was a viable business wasn't going to be just as viable come the opening of the A68. and it going over to the other side. Now, I know there was a question at the time by the Transportation Department regarding it was a 60-mile-an-hour road, and therefore you need all these visual splays that took up half the site, so you ended up with half the site in tarmac and the hour and a half to develop. But nevertheless, the individual has actually stayed in the area. And I think we've got, in some ways, a duty, one from inward investment, but secondly, to see the jobs that exist within the area to be retained as far as humanly possible. Now, I certainly, up on that site visit yesterday, was actually more surprised of the area in question than anything else. I didn't think it was actually such a large area, but of course I should have known that, because if the caravans were in there, of course it was a large area, but because they've not been there for a number of years, you tend to forget what was used. I'm very sympathetic to the application on the basis that I suppose one could argue that the diversification is going to put money back into the core business, and hopefully that will be able to retain the businesses that are there. Now, I know it says in the documentation, for example, about tourist accommodation, what about a hotel, what about self-catering? Chairman, that's not in front of us for us to determine. If it was, I'm sure that that's something that we could determine. It talks in terms of agricultural machinery sales. Well, you've actually got agricultural sites all over Scotland, and I suppose over the border as well, that are actually amalgamating because there isn't enough business around for them to actually have the number of operations going. So again, great if it's going to happen, but again, isn't in front of us. And I mean, I'm glad to see that Peter's reported that SEPA have withdrawn their objection regarding water, and if it does get an outline permission, that will have to be addressed by the applicant in coming forward with a detailed application. But I just think that this is, you could argue that this is a windfall site, that it is something that perhaps we should have determined up the road, not so very far from that the last time, and of course we didn't, because we waited to see what was happening. That's a site that's now lying there derelict, not this application, but another site. And I just think that it, in terms of us wanting to see inward investment into Midlothian, it, as we say nowadays, ticks all the boxes. And I'm very sympathetic to the application. Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak? Ian.
Thank you, Chair. I've spoken in the past at planning meetings on how we need to conform to our overall strategy as regards development in Midlothian, and that is the local plan. The local plan is there, and the main issues report as regards the draft local plan, to help direct where the inward investment, which, as Councillor Emery states, is very important to Midlothian. But we have a local plan for a very good reason, because there are some parts of Midlothian that are not suitable towards that development. And I would maintain, for the very clear reasons in the recommendation, that this is one of those areas. We're trying to promote tourism, and yet we have before us an application to build in an area which I visited yesterday, along with some of my colleagues here, is quite rural. We have a situation as regards transport which quite clearly goes against the strategy which we're trying to develop within Midlothian to take traffic off the roads and take people out of cars and put them onto buses, onto cycleways, etc. The situation as regards Fordell for transport is quite stark. The only public transport is an hourly bus along the it's a 1.3 kilometre track, which is not lit, although there are promises to upgrade it. It's not even owned by the people who are promising to do that. It's quite clear that people would not be using the bus if they lived in that settlement. I'm very much opposed to this development for those two reasons. One, because we have a local plan, we have it there for a good reason, and we should stick to the reasons why we have that local plan. And secondly, because the transport infrastructure simply cannot take developments like this, which are way off the public transport routes.
Councillor Thompson.
I think I'll probably come to this somewhere in the middle of the two previous speakers. I'm not against the principles of developing in this site. I'm just not convinced that this application's the right thing for it. I think that it is clearly there's been development on the site before, no issue with that. I think that there is great potential for development on the site again. I would have hoped that perhaps some more detailed discussion could have taken place between the applicant and the planners. It could have allowed a proposal to come forward here that would have been acceptable to the planners, that we were actually being given a recommendation for approval. Personally, I think that would have been a far stronger position for us to be in. That being said, I mean, we've got, as Russell says, we have to deal with the application that is in front of us. I mean, I'm happy to listen to comments from other colleagues. I mean, granted, I accept that this is a permission in principle, and perhaps as the details work through, some of these issues that and hold-ups that I have can be addressed, and you would hope there would be significant, if it was approved, there would be significant engagement between the applicant and planners to look at these issues and trying to work through some of them, because, yeah, I mean, the site is there. I mean, whether we like it or not, it's there. It had previous development on it. I think there's an argument to say that there is enough other measures to say that we should be looking at it. I'm just not entirely convinced that the application that we have in front of us today is the right application for the site.
Councillor Montgomery.
Hi, thanks, Chair. I was on a site visit yesterday as well, and I understand what Councillor Baxter's saying about the local plan and sticking to it, but sometimes when you've got a business that's in trouble, and I know it's not a planning issue and it's not a planning factor, and that's where I think we've got to look at it as councillors in a slightly different way from the local plan. I mean, you just read the report. I mean, the petrol sales are down by two-thirds from what they were selling before. The caravan site's closed because the A68 bypass has taken all the all the possibilities of that actually happening. And, you know, I just sometimes think, you know, we shouldn't look at things in sort of blinkers. If there's an application comes in that we think's actually got a bit of sense about it, we should actually be looking at it, to me, favourably. And that's certainly the way I'd be looking at this. I think it's a good idea, and I think people will certainly be biting your hand off to get the houses here, because it's, although somebody says it's rural, I mean, Woodburn's not that far from it, and I wouldn't put Woodburn down as rural. I think you would agree with that, Margot Stein, there. So I don't see anything wrong with this application really, and I mean obviously some of the finer points could a detail can be sorted out between the planners and the applicants, but in principle I don't see any issues with this. And as I say, I think sometimes we need to take a bit of a broader view and not just stick to strictly the planning advice that we get, although I understand why we get that, but we need to look at a bigger picture in terms of businesses and supporting them. And as I say, I'm not got an issue with this at all.
Councillor Bennett.
Thanks. Just fully on what everybody said, I would be in favour of this development taking place, and I understand the local plan. But if you go into the new A68, it wasn't in the local plan to grant planning permission for a hotel at Oakridge, but we took that decision because we felt it was in the best interest of the county, not just the hotel, the whole complex. I'm in a housey brewer, I think it was described at the time, but over 250 jobs in Midlothian. And we've still got the situation where there are over 4,000 people on our waiting list looking for houses in Midlothian. And I was on the site visit yesterday, and I'm well aware it was a caravan site before, and you can see all the concrete bases where the caravans obviously were berthed. And therefore, I think the only option for this site would be houses. And Russell tipped on it just down the road, where there was a former bungalow, and caravans used to be there before. The committee refused planning permission for that. I said at the time it had fallen to dereliction, and that's what's happened. And I'm quite sure if unless we develop this site, it's going to fall to dereliction also. So therefore, I would be in favour of this development.
Marco.
Thank you, Chair. Also attended the site visit, first time I've been on that part of the that area. I've obviously been when the cafe was quite popular and they had the caravans there, because I used to walk up from Woodburn to the cafe and bar. It's a larger site than anticipated, which obviously gave me more comfort that some of the planning and principle that housing could actually fit on that site. And I think as elected members, we have to look everything in the round. And yes, there is local plans, and the staff worked hard to set up these local plans, but I think us on the ground type of thing, we have to be flexible, and I'm quite supportive of this.
Anyone else want to speak?
Thanks, Chair. Just to come back on one or two of the points, I find it odd that we're using the argument that a business is failing should determine our policy on developments. I think that's something which would allow perhaps a dangerous precedent. The A68 bypass apparently caused this business to reduce its sales, and you have to ask whether the right decision was taken at that point. The site is described as brownfield. I would maintain from my visit yesterday that part of it was a brownfield site. A good deal of it looks like countryside to me. Certainly, I have no objection to the brownfield part of the site being used for an appropriate reason, for an appropriate purpose. But I think that housing in that particular location is inappropriate. And my main reason for that is the implication on transport. If that area, that site, had as good a bus service as Woodburn has, I think I might be persuaded. But until that happens, I'm afraid I'm not, and I'll be opposing this application.
Councillor Pottinger, sorry.
Yeah, I've obviously studied all the options here, and I'm in favour in principle of using this site. I think it's appropriate for private housing, and because it's well builded, you know, on most sides, it's going to be a site of low impact. The concerns are only thing I would have on it was the increase in retail. They've announced various figures about the big reduction in retail on the petrol sales, and surely the kiosk sales would have been accordingly well reduced as well. But in this application, they want to extend the kiosk, and it is a large kiosk that is already there. The other retail parts of it they want to increase on the site as well would be, they do have almost the retail village amongst the warehouses with the different units that is getting retained, you know, and these speciality sales, you know, in the agricultural and farming and and also in the equestrian and the other aspects. So, like I said, they actually increase the people who choose to get a house there will probably choose to on the basis that they have transport, they have private transport, or they're able to travel to Whitehill, which is nearby, to actually use public transport facilities. And as you say, many people find it walkable from the south part of Woodburn quite easily. The whole site, you know, does need regeneration. It does need a bit of an investment in it. And obviously surprised to see the demise of the caravan site there. Yes, a lot of the pull off the road tourers would not be going in there as they head towards Edinburgh on the new A68. But you think a lot of them would be able to find it again, you know, from previous years' usage, and seasonally, you know, particularly during the Edinburgh Festival, the demand for that kind of facility is quite high. So bearing all that in mind, you know, both sides of it, you know, I think it would be beneficial to see the site being developed, and I'm green in principle for the application.
Councillor Bennett.
Just to come back on the transport situation, there's no bus, I believe, goes past that site at the present moment, although there used to be when it was A68. But if you go where I live, over in Shaw Fair, All the new roads that's being built, they're all getting built with lay-bys and bus stops, but there are no buses there now because there's no houses. And it's like the chicken, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? If you build the houses, I'm quite sure you'll get the buses, but it's a dream world if you think you're going to get buses to run to nowhere. And after that, you build houses. Honestly, it's the wrong way around.
Councillor Devine?
Yeah, I'm gratified to all my colleagues that they actually enjoyed the site visit, because I was the one that tried to encourage that, because really kicking the tires in this case was so helpful, and I support this application. And I can assure you I have no other secondary interest for Mr. and Mrs. Watt's face.
Councillor Thompson?
I mean, I think it sounds like there is a level, a fairly significant level of support for this. So I think, and if it is the case that this is going to be passed, I think we do need to be making sure that the strongest possible encouragement for engagement on the detail of this is given, because I think there is good potential in this site. Undoubtedly, there's really strong potential in this site, and I totally agree with Alec, I have to say, on the buses, because nobody's going to run a bus if there's nobody there. But the minute you have housing, then the operators, there is the opportunity to come in there and to try and do something in the public transport. And when you have got the opportunity with a blank site, you can develop it in such a way, like we're looking at Shawfair, where it actually works for the overall development. But just if the committee is minded to approve this, I would just seek to have the strongest possible encouragement for the highest level engagement to maximise the use of the site to the best possible use.
Councillor Rosie?
Yeah, I think on going back to what Councillor Bennett was saying there about the buses, the chicken and the egg. I mean, bear in mind, I mean, we had the bus route, as Alec will quite well know, the 328 was withdrawn, and that went from Coosland right across to Newton Village and Miller Hill because it wasn't viable. So therefore, if we're, yeah, so, yeah, but it's possible that it's fairly near Coosland sort of thing. So you might be able, with the more houses maybe in the area, might start to encourage bus companies to relook at it again. And we're struggling to get buses to take that on. We've got the dial and go thing going, which, as we heard this morning, has been reasonably successful. But I think it's maybe a point in that direction might help the more houses in the area starts to encourage the buses back.
Councillor Muirhead.
Yeah, this might be kind of outdated information, but I seem to recall in the past there being an issue there where the bus operator actually wanting to go up the old A68, and we had to persuade them to go into Edgehead, Whitehall Village, in order that Edgehead was still supported. There was a desire on the part of the operator to continue just to batter up the old A68 to Path Head. So you know, I think there is potential for bus companies to actually amend their routes to suit that development.
Anyone else minded to speak? Okay, we have two proposals, one by Councillor Baxter to support the recommendation of the planners, and Councillor Imrie, who proposes we grant permission for the seconder, Ian. Kath, you second. And you seconder, Russell? Councillor Baxter, raise your hand. And those supporting Councillor Imrie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
The recommendation is now for permission to be granted. We'll pass on to item 10.
Point order or point information? Just a point of information or point of order. Did you have to be on the site visit to participate in the vote?
No. Councillor Thompson, you wanted some conditions put onto the...
Chair, if you're happy, in normal circumstances such as this, where there's an overturning to approve, it's just if you're comfortable for the officers to prepare the normal sort of set of conditions which would go with an application of this nature, if that's agreed by the committee.
Is that the committee's decision?
Yeah,
okay. Item 10, application for planning permission to amend condition 9 of planning permission 11/004 to extend duration of temporary permission at land at Blackcastle Farm.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application for extension of time to undertake engineering works comprising the infilling of land at Blackcastle Farm, Tynehead. The proposal comprises raising the level of land on a 9.7-hectare site by up to 2 metres using inert material. The works will be sculpted to tie the infilling into the landform and to assist in drainage management. The applicant has advised that these works will improve the quality of the land for agriculture. The development site is within the countryside, where there is a presumption against development unless it is in support of identified rural activity. The overall plan of improving the quality of land for agriculture is an acceptable development in this location. At its meeting in November 2011, the committee granted permission for infilling operations to take place on the site over a 2-year period. The applicant commenced the implementation of the works, but has not been able to complete the works within the 2-year time period because of a shortage of available material. The applicant is therefore requesting a further year to complete the works. There have been no letters of objection, and no complaints have been received during the ongoing operations. The recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to conditions.
No one want to speak? Okay, the recommendations are carried. Oh, sorry, Mr. Devine.
Well, I very much understand that we have to accept this. There's just one issue. This is on the road that links the A68 with the A7, and this is a road that particularly the farmers in my ward use extensively, and it's the road that has been totally destroyed by network rail and the activities of the people that are building the very much needed railway. Now, I see that the road sweeping statement dated the 9th of May shall be implemented in full for the duration of the planning permission. It's almost impossible for that road sweeping to be done at the moment because thousands, literally thousands of lorries travel between the Sutra Hill quarry and Harriet, where there is an enormous amount of gravel needed to realign the road and to build the railway line. What I would like to make sure is that once the works for the network rail are finished, that the contractor that is dumping all the landfill will actually use the road sweeping, and also that we make sure that the dreadful traffic that goes onto that road because of this activity is reflected in the contractor having to help us restate that road. And I think it's very important that we deal with that.
That's paragraph 3.4. Peter, can you just... That's part of the conditions, isn't it?
There's two things here, Chairman. In terms of this application for the infilling of this site, it's a relatively low level of activity compared to the network rail operations. The site operator at the most has about 5 lorries worth of material going in on one day. The next day it may have none. So the current arrangements are making sure that after the on-site operator does some work, there's a cleaning process in place to clean up that part of the road. Obviously, with the additional traffic in relation to the network rail, it slightly confuses things because you've got lorries moving around which are totally unconnected to the site. But in terms of the network rail operation, which is out with this application, there is an obligation on them to contribute towards cleaning up the road after themselves, but that's separate to this plan application. But there are conditions and controls in place to mitigate the impact of this scheme.
Councillor Devine.
C- Could I just come back? I'm sure there are conditions for the road sweeping. I'm not so much involved with the road sweeping. It is the restoration of the road because of the activities of the lorries that are doing the landfill.
You're talking about the lorries for the landfill for the Black Castle Farm, but that's being confused, is it not, with the lorries that's doing Network Rail? So they're both using the road.
Correct, but my point was that once Network Rail has finished with their operations, that also the road will be carefully inspected by Midlothian Council, and then if there is a further deterioration, that should be recovered from the contractors.
Would you comment?
Yeah, I suppose the challenge, Chairman, is trying to identify whether the damage is a result of this plan application or the operation of the Network Rail, and then trying to attribute the impact of that. In terms of, there is a programme in place to monitor this site and this site's impact, and we've got that under control, I think. But the difficulty arises then in terms of the Network Rail traffic, but there is an obligation on the Network Rail through the Borders Rail Act to maintain and make sure that they don't have that impact on the railway. So there's a separate process for the Network Rail traffic. But there is, the bottom line is, whether it's through this application or other means, there is a mechanism to repair and make sure the railway, the road, is in an appropriate and safe state after operations.
I think Network Rail is going to finish in a few months' time. And then we've got a year's extension, which means that we can check that after a year that it's been fixed, yeah?
Yeah, Chair. I suppose it's the challenge is that once the Network Rail traffic is finished, is the damage attributed to a Network Rail or to this operator? At the moment, this operator is at a very low level because then they're not getting the material in. So if there's damage to the highway at present, it's being attributed to the Network Rail traffic.
Well, as I understand it, Peter, the road will be put back by Network Rail, and then if the chap keeps on doing it, he will then clean up the road when he's finished, as I understand it. Thank you all for attending.
Could I, just matter of information, on item number 8, I failed to excuse myself, and I'm really sorry. I thought when there's just a application for the meeting that I could stay here, but I saw that Councillor Montgomery withdrew, and I should have probably done the same, but there was no discussion, so I hope I will be forgiven for my misdemeanour. I was so overcome by Councillor Pottinger coming to sit next to me that I lost the plot.